So, Duren, this week started off with me following hashtag Xbox 10, or at Xbox 10 on Twitter. Xbox Reveal 10. And that was like one of the coolest and most random build-ups to one of these events that I've ever had, which was essentially just me refreshing a Twitter page, reading tweets from Anthropomorphized Tent to people who were excited about what Microsoft was doing in this crazy, almost unprecedented pre-E3 console reveal. And it's
turned out that that was also probably the most interesting and coolest facet of this Xbox reveal.
The tent's going to be pulled down, and I think that's indicative. The fall of the Xbox tent is pretty much indicative of this entire event to me.
Xbox, go home.
Hello, and welcome to the Scotchcast. Episode 5.5, and an addendum to our previous one, which was the pre-Xbox event show, where we came in with like bright visions for the future, and predictions, and so on and so forth.
Like, the hype for this thing was pretty high. I mean, you were sending me pictures from GAF.
Yeah,
and clearly their hype was high. Like, we were even kind of hyped for it, even though like none of us are like Xbox dudes necessarily. Like, I don't really associate myself with one console.
Yeah.
Like, I guess before everyone like quickly closes this podcast, who isn't like doesn't give a crap about Xbox. What is, I guess, starting with Cynic, what is your guys's, by the way, hi, I'm on this episode too. What is your guys's reasoning for, like, give a reason why PC gamers or MMO enthusiasts should care about Xbox? Because there is reasons.
I think the biggest reasons in this case is that, well, okay, there's two reasons to care about consoles as a PC gamer. The first one is consoles set the base for multi-platform releases in terms of quality of both the graphics and AI. That's really important.
Basically, consoles essentially are the lowest common denominator that games are developed for.
Yeah.
I mean, even when there are times where consoles surpass PCs in terms of maybe graphical capabilities or what have you.
Right.
Those times tend to be fairly short-lived, and even with that, restrictions are made for those games to make them work on consoles, and those restrictions quite often are also carried over to the PC version as well. So the better the console, the better the PC version.
Yeah, exactly. And the second reason in this case is Microsoft is moving towards – because – the reason why MMOs never took off on consoles before was because, Sony is terrible at developer support when it comes to online infrastructure, and B, Microsoft was all closed off, so you couldn't get MMO to run off the Xbox until really recently. Like,
well, I mean, Defiance. Let's be fair, like, you could, because Final Fantasy XI did.
Yeah, like Final Fantasy XI and Defiance are the only like big MMOs. And they,
some might say MAG to some extent.
Oh, well, that's on PlayStation. But
well, like previous console though, yeah.
But like the move from pretty much making the developer jump through all the hoops to set up an MMO to what they're doing, well, what they announced today with their crazy server infrastructure, that could be important for the development of MMOs going forward. So not only multi-platform games, but MMOs as well, could be hugely influenced by this generation of consoles, especially since this generation of consoles is as close to being a bunch of PCs as they've ever been in the past. So those are the reasons I'd say that an MMO gamer should pay attention.
Or PC gamers. I mean, I guess one other reason would be, again, going back to consoles kind of driving game development, like, with this next generation, all of these developers are now coming out with these tech demos for all of their new next-gen engines.
Yeah.
And those engines will also be powering the PC versions. So with this, we'll also get more powerful PC versions than we've gotten in the past. I'm actually really excited for that more than anything coming into this next generation. And as somebody who started this last generation as a console-only gamer.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still probably going to be... Like, looking at what Sony's been bringing forward, I'm probably going to still be a console primary gamer this generation. But either way, like, whatever. Today was the announcement of the... I guess we could just fucking say it. The Xbox One... before we get into
event, are you saying the Xbox like succeeded? They reached victory or like
no?
What do you mean by Xbox One?
I mean the name for the next what was previously known as the next Xbox, which in my head always makes me think of the first Xbox because when I say Xbox One, I think of a big fucking black box, which by the way isn't too far off.
I was going to say, this is a two-tone big fucking black box.
Yeah, it's maybe for better or worse, they gave it that name. Before we get onto the event, though, because people don't know how we do these, we tend to go through the entire event. The event was 1 hour this time, and let's just be fucking straight up with this. Not much happened, so we may not go too in-depth as opposed to last time. Last time was the Sony event. And it was a 2-hour conference, and we spent 4 hours talking about it. We're probably not going
to
do that again.
But to be fair, we spent 4 hours talking about it because we were excited about what they showed.
Yeah.
I don't think anything shown here excited any of us.
I don't know. Forza.
I mean, yeah. I guess for any of you out there, and we'll get into this in a little bit, but I guess for any of you out there who are into fantasy football, this will be the console for you, I guess.
Yeah, I got really like concerned when the command to bring up fantasy football is Xbox show fantasy.
I loved all of the like fake gestures and pretending that he was actually giving commands to the Xbox when he was clearly saying those same words in the middle of sentences.
Yeah.
That would have totally disrupted the Xbox.
And didn't do anything. Fucking.
Or waving his hands around. And then whenever he actually wanted the Xbox to do something, he would just swipe his hand and it would magically work every time.
So before we go anywhere,
all the pantomiming.
I think we can all say that we were all, was disappointed the right word or disgusted or let down or just bored?
You know, I guess in one way, I was kind of glad because it made my decision for what console I was going to get very easy.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Right. It wasn't an event worth our time. Let's just say that. So if
it wasn't an event worth television.
If you are coming into this podcast hoping for us to be amongst the few people who seem to be coming into this with a level, I'm going to put this in inverted commas, level head, as in like the equivalent of politically correct for console bullshit news, you're not going to get that because I have definite feelings about what transpired today. What fucking 3 hours has been taken from my life?
Let's just not beat around the bush. Let's just go to it.
All right. So let's start from the top. My number one note is okay. So this show started with a showstopper, like easily, right? Because with exclamation marks all around it, I have Allard written
which
down.
Which I missed.
As my number one bullet point, first on the list. Yeah, when that happened, right? It opened with that montage of people talking about the vision for what they're going to bring to us with the next Xbox. And having Jay Allard there and kudos to Noda without his freaking glasses, that was crazy. I was like, oh, no, I just got real.
Because he didn't have glasses on. But it's good to know that Jay Allard is still there. Like, he hasn't transcended his physical form yet.
Yet. Well, that's arguable. Maybe they like just chat. Maybe it wasn't get Jay Allard. It was someone channeling Jay Allard, and he then came down from above and enveloped that dude's body, and then
it was actually just
avatar. Yeah, exactly. But and from there it was pretty much rapidly downhill. So the first person who came on the stage in this Xbox event was, of course, Don Matrick, the smarmy man. Do you have anything nice to say, Don Matrick? I don't have anything nice to say about Don Matrick.
He's, he's a weird face guy. Like, in some regards, he makes sense because he doesn't really fumble on his words. He does an okay job of speaking.
Yeah.
But he just, I don't know, that attitude he has. Like, smarmy is probably a good way to describe that.
Yeah.
And it says a lot about Microsoft's perception of themselves going into this next generation. Like, they just own this generation, and they can have this event where they don't show off any games and everyone will love it because it's Xbox.
I hope they realized what they were doing before they did it. Like,
Well, I mean, given that tweet that was retweeted by Microsoft from
which one?
Carolyn Petit, Pettit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Spot. No, they have no fucking clue what they've done.
don't tell, because it's like what the guys in Giant Bomb say about Super Mario Brothers U. Even though you may disagree, New Super Mario Brothers U. Even though you may disagree in that. Thank you. They hope that Nintendo doesn't think that they're bringing their A game with those Mario games. I hope that Xbox doesn't think they brought their A game with this event, because
hello, like, they were televising it. Clearly, they thought they fucking had something here. Like, they thought that this is going to, you know, change the way. They actually said that they were changing the NFL, or they were changing football.
It's a game changer.
So the first thing he comes up and goes, he talks about the Xbox 360, which I was surprised. Like, this is a 1 hour conference, and at some point I remembered to start writing down timestamps, but I hadn't at this time. But he spent like a good minute or 2 minutes just introing the success of the Xbox 360. And that's a move I usually attribute to like Sony in their heydays and the Wii.
Yeah.
Like Nintendo with the Wii in their heydays. Like, that's, you don't do that.
Like I said before, like this, I mean, a lot of this presentation was Sony all over again last generation.
Which is crazy, because Sony did it, then Nintendo did it, and now Microsoft's doing it. Like, how do
They're
you fuck
up?
Same
fucking mistakes.
How do you do that? It's like history is repeating itself and no one realizes it's happening except the entire fucking world, except the people who are running the show. It's so dumb. But okay, so they say that they're going to be introducing what's happening in the future of Xbox 360 at E3, which is cool. And it's speculation as to whether that's like the $99 box or whatever. That we can put that aside, whatever.
Most likely.
Yeah, I think so as well. But then there's the whole like lead up about they want to make an all-in-one system. And at this point, we still hadn't known the name. So his build-up to the name was talking about how they want everything to come into one
box. The
build-up
was hilarious. Yeah, it's the one thing that does this. It's the one thing that does that. I think, honestly, had I been watching this live, which unfortunately I didn't get to, I had to watch it archived,
yep.
I probably would have guessed the name, because the smile, or like just the slight smirk on his face every time he said one, was just like a dead giveaway. Like, it complete dead giveaway.
It
like,
was there as well. I didn't notice that.
Honestly though, like I almost would have actually, just because of how he started the presentation and clearly the smarminess he brought to this whole thing, I almost would have actually guessed they would have just called it the One Xbox. Or just the One.
So they reveal that the name is the Xbox One. What does everyone think about that name? Thurbleton.
I think, like, really the only reason I think they named it that, or they chose that, is as a, like, back-of-the-mind, subtle, like, you know, way of winning the game, I guess, of saying Xbox One. W-O-N.
Nice.
So, like, whenever someone says, oh, yeah, let's just play on the Xbox One, even though everyone's still going to call it just the friggin' Xbox.
Durin?
So this thing had a lot of rumored names leading up to this. Things like Xbox Infinity, Xbox 720, Xbox 8 even was thrown around here and there. I believe Ryan had brought up yesterday the what did he bring up?
Fusion?
I forgot what he – well, Xbox Fusion was also
– I really enjoyed – well, during things one. That up, I really enjoyed the Xbox 360 Delta, which was based off of PlayStation 3 controls. Because there's the X, the square, so Xbox, the circle's 360. Nice. So the last shape they needed was the triangle.
That's pretty cool. Nice.
That is dumb.
I don't recall the one Ryan came up with, but it was another like kind of good, like sort of made sense with how he described it. But like there were all these names given for this thing, and I thought a lot of those were dumb, you know, things like 720 or, you know, as much as I thought it might actually be Xbox Infinity, that maybe, you know, I thought that one was kind of dumb too.
Oh, wait. Xbox Infinity is 100 times better than what they ended up with.
Well, that's what I'm getting at, though. Those were kind of dumb names anyway. I didn't think they would manage to come up with a dumber name than those. But Xbox One for their third console going up against the PlayStation 4...
So you're saying you were surprised by the name?
Yeah. I was surprised at how dumb it was.
I think like, this whole event was...
Xbox. If they're going to call it Xbox One, just call it Xbox.
I agree, right? And I was
That's all anyone's going to call it anyway. And by saying Xbox One, you're essentially saying it's the Xbox. So just call it the Xbox and leave off your ridiculous One.
I've actually started calling it the One.
God damn it, don't do that.
Which is terrible, but it's like it's faster than Xbox. I know Microsoft does win if I call it that, but it's the shortest. I'm not going to call it the X1 or like the Xbox, which is like three times the length of just the One. It's easy. I used to call the old one 360, and I'll probably end up calling this the One.
I still think that naming it Xbox, but just having it be XBX would have been like the best fucking name.
So as I was saying earlier, this entire event can be essentially equated to us coming in with really low expectations and then Microsoft finding ways to fly in under those expectations by a significant margin. Like,
well, no, to be fair here, I didn't have low expectations. I had no expectations. Like, right. I said before in the last podcast, like I didn't know what Microsoft could possibly do to like wow me after what Sony did.
Yeah.
And after watching this, clearly Microsoft didn't know what Microsoft could do to wow me.
It's
because it's not sports and television, it turns out.
Back to the name, though, I just think the Xbox One is I think it's actually confusing. I personally get confused with it between it and the original Xbox.
That's kind of what I was going to add. Like, if you just called it the Xbox,
yeah,
that would actually oddly be less confusing than calling it Xbox One. Like, yeah. by adding the One onto the end, like, if you look at, like, the original PlayStation, it was called the PlayStation.
Yeah.
But after the PlayStation 2 came out, everyone called the original PlayStation PlayStation 1.
Yep. And same with 360. Well, I called the original Xbox, Xbox One. I always called it that until now.
I called it the Xbox OG, but nice. That's just me. The OG with the Duke.
But, like, there's a argument to be made for regression in numbers. Like, going from 360 to 1 is an unnatural progression. It's literally regression. Like, a lot of people it has internal resistance to it. And, of course, there's always a very valid argument of, well, after like 6 months it won't matter because whatever the dumb name they come up with we'll all get used to, right? But I think the Wii U has proven that names actually do sometimes really matter. I think the Wii U has proven, like, with a bullet point and almost irrefutably, that if you have a confusing name for your next shiny thing, people might not realize it's your next shiny thing. But I don't know. Like, that's only one data point.
You look at the system, and you know the controller. You know, it is slightly redesigned, but it looks like an Xbox controller. It has the Kinect there, which everyone associates now with the Xbox. Even casual gamers who play the Xbox, they know what the Kinect is. They know what it looks like. And you have, of course, you know the black box. And I do kind of fear a little bit that some people may not recognize this is actually the next system.
Yeah, but it could be. A lot of people might like.
Like, obviously, all of us will.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm thinking, like, you know, the people going shopping this holiday season and see the system out there, they're going to see it as, oh, this is, you know, they could potentially see this as, you know, this is the 360 with, you know, this cable TV functionality.
Exactly. That's exactly it's what
like
I'm saying.
It's like a 360 cable box. Oh, okay. And then, well, why the fuck don't my 360 games work in this?
Yeah. And same, that's exactly what happened with the Wii U. Not necessarily the backwards compatibility part, but people thought that is just a Wii repackaged with this new controller.
Yeah.
And it's
there's exactly something to be said for the simplicity of, you know, Sony keeping with the numbering scheme of,
yeah,
this is the PlayStation 1, this is the PlayStation 2, this is the 3, this is the 4. That one, you know, when it comes time for the holiday shopping, no one's going to get confused that the PlayStation 4 is the PlayStation 3.
Yeah. Well, assuming that the hardware is, like, differentiates itself more than what I suspect it's going to.
Even if it doesn't, though, I mean, that number, that sequential number really tells important. People this is the next one.
Yeah, like, no, there's zero brand confusion with PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4. Whereas Xbox 360 to Xbox One, and considering that some places in the world, like the UK and Australia, have channels and sensors associating with the number one, so it could be easily mistaken for an Xbox rebranded to match a channel, especially since it's being advertised as a TV-centric box. So
yeah.
We don't know. We're kind of like speculating as to future history, so we may as well move on.
Yeah, like I don't think it'll be as bad as the Wii U, but I think it definitely has potential to have some brand confusion going into the holiday season for the kind of casual shopper.
Yeah, and any of the other names they could have chosen, Xbox Fusion, Xbox Infinity, even the Xbox would have diminishes. I think they're just being better names just in general. No matter what you think of Xbox Infinity, for example, as a name, it's better than Xbox One, in my opinion, just by far and away.
Or listen, you know, nothing else. Next box. Why not?
Xbox 4. Skip a number. What the fuck cares?
Yeah, there you go. Cheers. Yeah. Like,
clearly they don't. Clearly they don't care. Like, it's straight up.
Yeah, clearly they have no fucking care in the world for you know, number association or sequential numbers at all.
At all. So what the fuck?
God care? Damn. They
so,
skipped two entire... God.
After the name, they had perhaps the single worst product render I've ever seen since, like, 2004 of new hardware. Like, I remember the PS3 being, like, press shots for the PS3 getting out there, and me not necessarily struggling, but it was very believable as a completed and built system when you print out that piece of paper or you look at it on a web page. This render, I don't know why I'm getting hung up on this, but it was, like, indicative of me, like, to me, how freaking slap dash poor rush job this event felt like, because that render was just an utter piece of trash. And seeing it on there, seeing that hardware with that, how weird and, in my opinion, shitty it looks, rendered in that way, was just like, oh my god. Have I tuned into, like, the Shopping Direct channel or some shit? Like, am I missing the event? Is this just like a parody event being run simultaneously with the real? Yeah, I don't know. But what do you guys think? Durin, you're old. Do you like the look of the box?
God, no. I mean, like, you kind of had it spot on when we were watching it, and you mentioned, like, it looks like a cable box.
Yeah.
This thing is massive.
Yeah, it's huge. There was pictures of John Matrix standing next to...
But that's kind of the problem. It's a cable box, therefore it has to have, you know, the proper ventilation to always be on all the time, because... Yeah. You're going to use it to watch your live TV, but only live TV, because it doesn't do DVR.
That we know of. And it's not necessarily, it's not a cable box.
They said it did game DVR. If it did live television DVR, they'd have said it.
So let's assume it doesn't,
so
to be clear though, it's not a cable box. It's a pass-through box. Like, you can't, you can't put in your cable card.
It needed the cooling specs of a cable box, because it needs to be able to run constantly, which is probably accounts for some of the size. The problem with that is most people in the world aren't going to fucking care. Like, okay, we'll get to outside the U.S. in a second, but even here in the U.S., cable adoption is on the decline. Now, in 2013, it's not a time to be integrating cable television features into your game console. And then, you know, moving outside the U.S., those functions won't even work.
Yeah. For Mike?
For the majority of the player base of the Xbox 360, they won't even be able to use the function that
if you mandated think the design that, resistance. A person who's like a cable cutter, for example, in the US, was disinterested by the cable stuff presented in this event, you have no idea how disinterested international audiences were by any of that cable stuff, because it will never, has never, and will never apply to us, because they've already like confirmed that we will not be getting any of those cable features in our boxes. So what we'll have in Australia is like a 10-inch thick fucking box, which is like 50 feet wide and 10 feet deep, that doesn't even like, there's no even reason like, for its size.
Looking at this box, you know, standing next to the controller, if you picture an Xbox 360 controller, just assuming that this controller is roughly the size of an Xbox 360, which could be, it looks like the controller might actually be a little bigger.
It's around ballpark right size. Yeah.
Around that size,
yeah. Something I was curious about with the controller, I'm not sure if they've announced it yet, but is like, are their shoulder buttons analog now?
Oh, I don't know. They haven't said that. No.
They always were.
Were they? I thought the shoulder buttons were digital.
The trigger buttons were, but not the shoulder buttons. The bumper, these were digital. The
bumper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think they said.
No.
They specifically like focused on the triggers because they were going to have force feedback, apparently, because that's necessary.
I think it sounds pretty cool to have that. But what were you saying about the size?
But the size of the box, like you look at the box next to that controller and you picture what an Xbox 360 controller is like, you know, height-wise standing up.
Yeah.
And the box is probably centimeters shorter than that.
Yeah, like an inch. It's like an inch shorter than a controller standing on its tip. Like it's
that is massive.
Huge.
I mean, this is like you had said to me prior to watching this video. Like I agree. Actually, watching this, like it might rival the original Xbox in terms of size.
I think it's bigger. I think it's bigger than the original Xbox. Like there's pictures of Don Matrick standing near the table with that box on it, and it is comparable in size to his motherfucking torso. It's huge. It's huge.
I would have loved to have been in the Sony conference room with all of them gathered watching this. Just they saw the box. I would have loved to have seen their reaction.
Did you see it?
I can't imagine the PlayStation 4 isn't even near this size.
What's his name? It's Yoshi. It's the head of Sony Worldwide Studios or Sony American Studios. One of the two is like Ueda, Yoshida Ueda. I keep forgetting his name. But
Yoshida Ueda.
Yeah. People tweeted him about this event and he was like, oh, wait, sorry, I fell asleep. Were you talking about the HTC one? It was
you know, prior to this event, I almost felt like Sony was kind of acting a little desperate or like childish, even with the Twitter remarks talking about how like, oh, this is a slow news day, you should watch our teaser trailer for our console or whatever. Yep. And then after watching this event, I was like, no, I mean, Sony earned it. Yeah, this is kind of a slow news day.
Like,
IGN with their 20 stories, because those 20 stories encompass about 10 minutes of this entire thing.
Well, you saw it, but if someone boiled this entire conference down to a 2-minute video, and that was pretty accurate to what that conference was. Yeah. Oh god, but no, like
sports.
Sony in February made this look easy, and Microsoft has like clearly just fucking dropped the ball in such an incredible. But we'll get there. So the box is huge. What do you guys think of the visual design? I think it looks ugly as fucking sin.
The aesthetic of the box itself.
Yeah.
It looks like something out of the 80s.
Yeah, it looks like something Japan designed in the 80s. Is how I described it to you.
Like the blacks and the grays together, and more importantly, the size and shape of it.
Yeah.
With the giant, just massive gray vent on the side where the power.
Yep.
Which, by the way, am I correct in seeing does the power plug in on the side, or is that?
Oh no! That is a recessed USB port. They have confirmed that this has a built-in power brick, so unlike the 360, you won't have a separate power brick for the system. But they have this weird side USB port that no one knows why they decided to put it there.
You know what? That could have also maybe taken about, I don't know, 20% of the size of this console off if you just made a fucking power brick.
Yeah, quite possibly. And you know what? I prefer Power Bricks to something the size of a VCR, because this is the size of a VCR.
I would say a combo VCR.
Actually, yeah. In fact, from Given many angles, this looked like it was two things that were just like sellotaped together in the center, because it is like the design does like slash halfway, like in the middle of it.
Shinboy did call the checkerboard thing. He just he didn't know that it was going to be on the console.
Oh, boom. All right. So moving on from the console, there's a bunch of controller details. Do we care? Do we want to talk about that, or just let the guys at home find that for themselves?
Just a little bit. So it's an Xbox 360 controller, essentially, in a lot of ways. They fixed the D-pad, which is definitely good. I mean, if they wouldn't have done that, Microsoft might as well just packed it up and gone home at that point. but they did at least fix that, or at least seem to have. Like it's not the disc anymore, which is to me already a fix.
Yeah.
Like we mentioned before, they put force feedback in the triggers, which
I think that sounds cool. Sure, I think that sounds cool.
I think it just adds more fucking money to the cost of the controller.
True.
They did not put any kind of a touch pad or touch interface.
Something
I
didn't say before. Maybe the money was offset, because I know it's just me, but the box and the controller and the Kinect look chintzy as fuck. I don't know what it is, man. But
to be fair, the PlayStation 4 DualShock, the DualShock 4, kind of looks chintzy as fuck too.
The DualShock 4 looks like it's well built, but by the wrong people, because it's like it's horrible. Like if you look at the material design on it, everything makes sense as to where it is.
Yeah,
like, but together, yeah, it exactly. looks dumb. It just looks dumb.
Yeah, like places, everything looks real good. Like it's where you want to be. The triggers apparently have been fixed. You know, the analog sticks look good and everything. Yeah. But yeah, like the whole just aesthetic design, the plastic they chose for the casing of the controller.
Yeah.
Even if I recall correctly, the analog sticks.
Yep.
Just everything looks kind of like it's about to fall apart.
Yeah. In this case, at least, like the analog sticks look like the only analog class act. They look
beautiful.
Pretty. Yeah. The machine analog sticks.
I just want to point out real quick, if you go to Giant Bomb's main page right now, where it shows the headline thing is Microsoft unveils the Xbox One.
Yeah.
If you look at the controller and you look at that top part, this is something I hadn't noticed in other screens. It's actually a translucent green up where, like on the whole top part up there, where Xbox.
I suspect that's because of the huge green LCD projections behind it, because I've seen photos of the same controller where the entire thing looked gray, but that was because of the flash of the camera. Like I think this material is just like weirdly reflective, so I'm not sure.
Well, what I mean is like it seems like there's some translucency to that top part that I didn't notice in other pictures until I saw this one.
Exactly, and that's why I think it might not be. But anyway,
They did move the guide button up to the top of the controller, which is completely fucking stupid.
Well, we're actually not sure if that is still a button, because no one was allowed to touch the controller except for Jeff Keighley and a couple of other people, and none of them have actually commented as to whether that thing's pressable.
Assuming they didn't remove a button from the controller.
Well, the other two buttons are no longer start and select.
They haven't said what they are, but it appears as though one is the guide button and the other one is picture in picture.
Yeah.
Step. The picture might be this whatever the thing was where it pulls something over on the side of your screen to ask.
Snap.
It might be that. Yeah, snap, yeah.
Yeah.
But the other one clearly is the guide button, which will bring up which again tells you like how invested they are in this TV stuff, because if that's the case, like that means you have a button designated to bring up your TV guide, essentially.
We'll get there.
Controller.
We will get
there. But other than that, you know, the D-pad is where it always has been, but they seem to have made some fixes to it.
Yeah.
Analog sticks are still offset. Didn't make any big changes to the face buttons. Mm-hmm. Again, we mentioned the trigger buttons. We don't know about the
triggers, and the shoulder buttons are all entirely redesigned from a physical standpoint as well. Like the triggers are no longer triggers. They're like these weird multifaceted shapes that kind of form into that same overall shape, but with more angles to them. They look fatter, the Ouya controller. I'm not sure if anyone's familiar with that at home, but it's got these like weird fat triggers and shoulders, and this actually kind of looks reminiscent of that. Which is whether it's good or bad, we'll see.
The shoulder bumpers, though, we don't actually know what their functionality is quite yet, so we can't really comment on that. Yeah. Overall, though, I mean, surprise, surprise, they didn't make any massive changes to the Xbox 360 controller, because in a lot of ways it's kind of been considered the best controller probably since the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, and I think the only thing I'd note would be at this point, we can see the huge divergence between Sony and Microsoft, because where Microsoft has what is essentially a TV guide button on their controller, Sony has a share button on their controller. And that is a huge difference between the two.
I did want to quickly point out that one of the major changes they did make is they kind of went the Sony route with the battery pack and made it internal now.
Yeah.
So it's not just this massive protruding bulge out of the back of your controller anymore.
But it still runs off double A's?
No, it's internal now.
You can actually replace those. They're still replaceable, and I think it was either double or triple A's.
That's really bad, because I was worried about the PlayStation 3 having those internal batteries like that, but I've never had a controller die entirely yet.
Yeah, me either.
So I don't really worry about that anymore. I would prefer that over this, because all this means is now I got to spend $50 on a controller and then another $20 on another goddamn playing charge kit.
Yeah, hopefully they've fixed that kind of stuff, because I did say that they've redesigned the battery pack and hopefully made improvements there. So,
What I mean is if it's still requiring batteries, I'm not going to be fucking feeding batteries into this thing. I'm going to wait until Madcap releases whatever their battery pack is, unfortunately.
Also important about the controller is that when they did a breakdown, it's it works off Wi-Fi direct now instead of, I believe, infrared. A lot of sites have kind of glossed over this fact, but it definitely seems like it's confirmed that these new controllers
Pretty much for, like, what that means basically is reduced latency, right?
It's 15. This supposedly the forward and back latency is 15% reduced by this new controller.
Okay.
But for me, it's not backwards compatible. That's what's important to me. That's kind of lame.
Well, not backwards or forward. So you're not going to be using your 360 controllers for your Xbox One.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's kind of to be expected.
Mm-hmm. But also weird is...
Not only is it kind of to be expected, but at the same time, like, a lot of people kind of bash the Wii U for relying still on Wii controllers.
Right.
So it's kind of good in that regard that these systems aren't doing that.
But it's kind of weird because, unless I'm crazy, there are no front USB ports on that, on the new box.
Not unless there's... Yeah, not unless there's like a flap. Flap to open, yeah.
Yeah.
Literally on the front, there is a disk drive and there is a button.
They clearly have ideas as to how this thing will charge and work, but as to whether they're good ideas or not, we will have to see when someone actually gets a chance to use one for an extended period of time.
Maybe that's what that one side USB is.
Fuck, that would be the worst, right? Like, they designed it to only like just fit within most hi-fi like racks because of how freaking huge it is, and then you expect us to put a freaking USB cable into the side of it? Fuck off. That's not gonna happen. All right, and then so we can move on to the Kinect, which is also
2.0. The Kinect 2.0, which will be included in all Xbox One boxes.
Which is important. And what do you think of that? Confirmed. What do you guys think of the fact that it's in every box?
I don't know. That is bad enough, but what I was just about to say is probably worse.
Go ahead.
The fact that it's confirmed to be required for operation.
Yep. You need to have your...
It will not work unless it is connected to the Kinect. You don't have to use the Kinect, but it has to be connected.
It has to be connected. Like the system, it's as if the Kinect was designed by a Japanese toy manufacturer in the 80s, because it is like...
That thing is huge. And the original Kinect was already big.
What's something of comparable size? I got like a toothpaste. No, it's bigger than a toothpaste like tube. It's huge.
It's really like it's I believe it's thinner, like front to back,
right?
Than the original Kinect was, but it is like at least twice as tall.
Yeah, it's shorter as well. It's like not as wide as the original Kinect, but as you said, it's fucking it's like a squarish cross section now, but it's huge, like it's gigantic.
Yeah, it also seems to only have
one
camera.
Yeah. Like I think the other ones are hidden, because in the Jeff Keeley behind the scenes stuff, they still had like the full infrared like spectrum array shown on the TVs there, and it actually seems much denser. It does look like a HDified connect in terms of how that works.
Which it is. It's a 1080p camera that grabs video at 30 frames a second. So definitely much improved over the original Kinect.
As to whether that translates to even anything remotely interesting, that's yet to be seen.
To be fair, one bonus to this being incorporated in every box now is that developers that are developing or want to develop Kinect games can develop those games knowing that everybody who owns that system can play it.
Yeah.
So that allows for more potential development money to go into those games. Because when people were developing Kinect games in the past, you already knew you were developing for a smaller market and an unconfirmed market because not everybody had it. So.
And it also adds to the whole
for that.
The fact that it has to be connected to the system to run underlines that fact because you know.
Yeah.
That anyone has.
It'll be there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And,
but does that mean that we're going to see, you know, Kinect support in the next Call of Duty? Hell no.
Well, they also did stuff like they showed the wireframe improvements, inverted commas, to this new Kinect. And so what they showed was you have more joints in the human body and you have orientation of each major limb and subsection to your limb, so you can twist your arms they demonstrated that it's better at tracking and twisting of your limbs. But what they also showed by that is that if you pay attention to those wireframes, they do not have finger tracking.
Yeah, which is a really interesting point to make, because when the original Kinect was being developed, it had finger tracking.
Yeah.
But
that was the idea behind it. Yeah.
Hold up. They don't have finger tracking, but they can tell when you like close your hand into a fist.
What they have is like two wires representing your entire hand. So that is probably that's
where your hand would fold.
Yeah.
Like that's where they can recognize. Yeah. They can recognize the fold of a hand.
Yeah.
Or
some like lo-fi operation of your hand, but they can't do at least what they've shown.
The more interesting fact is that they can't recognize fingers. But it can recognize, like, it can pick up on your heartbeat.
That sounds like crazy talk to me.
That sounds like looking at the bottom of an Avatar shoe.
Exactly. Like, they also said, like read how much you're blushing and, like, tonal changes to your skin, so on and so forth. But when a camera is telling me that it can read my heartbeat from that far away, when a device like a treadmill requires me to have a death grip on two metal plates just to have even remotest idea of how much I'm fucking sweating, then I struggle to believe you. Maybe using a different system. I don't know. Maybe using like ultrasound or something. I don't fucking know. But I have my doubts as to the effectiveness of the system in that way. Also, I'm not sure if I want a camera that's always... Okay, well, let's rewind this a bit. So, a Kinect in every box. A Kinect that has to be connected to the system in every box. And a system that's made to never be turned off. Does anyone else see a problem with this?
I don't know. See, I'm not really the, like... I've never understood the worry of this camera always being on. Like, there's some person in a room at Microsoft just watching me all the time.
I don't think that's the case. But it's still... But it's like, even though there is extreme lack of any form of motivation or any part of like likeliness for anyone to tap into your camera, if that's even possible, it's still weird to me to have a camera trained on me.
But see, that's the thing is, like, it's not really like there's no way for someone to tap into that.
Yeah, that I know of. I don't know.
I don't know. It's the kind of thing where I feel like if that really bothers somebody that much, just turn the camera around when you visit RedTube.
Or my idea for it is to just have the Kinect connected to my my box. If I was to buy it, which I'm not going to, at least thus far, they have not convinced me of it. And just like whirl it around its own cord and have it sitting next to the box, out of my way, nowhere near my TV. I don't give a fuck. It's just over there. I don't care. And it'll probably be able to hear me if I make voice commands anyway. So fine, just leave it over there.
You're not going to balance that brick on top of your television?
I don't think I can. I have a 32-inch Samsung flat panel, and I don't think... I'm certain that they realize that people with thin TVs will have problems with that.
Yeah, this thing with the size this is, it's going to have to sit in front of the television, which is going to create even more problems, especially when you have wall-mounted televisions.
Yeah.
In
that, or it's going to come with like some accessory, like a clamp or a grip or something to help it connect, like stand on normal TVs. But yeah, it looks hideous. So even if I did, even if it does work on my TV, I don't want it on there. It's the most disgusting looking piece of hardware I've seen in quite a while when it comes to like that. Anyway, we're spending too much time on the looks of this shit. Let's move on to the first presenter after Matrick, who's Yusef. I've forgotten to write down his last name, but sure. And he essentially pitched to us why the Xbox One, TV. I was going to call it the Xbox 360, does what it does. Yeah, TV. So what he did was he walked up to a Xbox we assume was set up, but it clearly wasn't. And he made hand gestures.
So we were led to believe.
Yeah. Exactly. Like we led to believe there being an Xbox there, we walked up to, and he had, I believe, he started the demonstration with saying that he had music, a movie, and like a game or something playing at the same time, or having been played at some point in the past on his Xbox One. I still can't get used to that fucking name yet. On his Xbox. And then he proceeded to do hand gestures with his Kinect to switch between apps. What do you guys think of that whole demonstration? Now,
as far as I'm aware, did Sony? They didn't show anything off that showed multitasking, right?
On the PlayStation 4? No, none.
Okay, I was gonna say because like this is one place where Microsoft definitely, at least as of right now, seems to have finally shown something that Sony at least hasn't shown.
Yes,
whether they can do it or not, you know, I guess we'll find out.
They can do it. They can 100% do it. Do you want to go into why, or do you just want to leave that to later? Because
No. I'm just saying, they showed something that Sony didn't show, and that was actually really interesting. Like, it's a really cool thing to finally. I mean, granted, yes, we've seen it already with the Vita, but it's nice to see that with a console to be able to very quickly, assuming you know it's actually happening as fast as they show up there, which it won't.
It was but just to be clear, that demonstration was really silky smooth and really fast. Like everything responded amazingly to both his voice and his gestures.
Now, I will say that there was one point in it that made me kind of feel like, okay, this might actually be really switching in real time and this isn't just a fucking video they're playing. Mm-hmm. And that was when he was switching from the game back to television. There was that slight delay as if the Xbox itself was switching inputs.
Okay. I didn't notice, but sure.
Like it wasn't just like instant. It was like there was, you know, black screen, and the black screen held for just about a half second longer than you would have maybe expected.
Sure.
And then TV came up. Like you would expect when you're switching inputs on your television. So that showed me that, you know, okay, maybe this wasn't just some video mock-up they were doing. Like maybe, even though he's not actually doing these gestures, maybe there's somebody in the back with a dev kit who's doing this stuff in real time and it's actually working.
If that's the case, I think that it legitimately did run spectacularly fast. Like compared to what I've seen of motion controls from this generation, this does seem like a step forward. I guess.
And not even motion controls, just like being able to that quickly swap between playing a game and going to, you know, what they were showing for their live TV.
Yeah. And the next presenter totally goes into that. But before we get there, do you guys see yourself, if it was this good in your home, would you see yourself ever using either the motion controls with those new gestures, like the pinch out gesture or whatever you want to call it, the grab gesture? And the voice commands. Like, do you guys ever see yourselves using that? Because I won't, most likely.
Third?
No, because I probably won't be buying this.
Assuming I bought it, which I probably, again, like, based on what you showed here, I probably won't be either, at least not at launch. No, because it's still easier and faster to do it with my controller.
Yeah. Like there's a button on the control, like the one we theorized earlier.
Assuming none of this is like Kinect only, which that would be the dumbest fucking thing ever. Assuming none of this is Kinect only and everything can be done on the controller too, I just imagine it would still be faster and snappier doing it with my controller.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not to mention, this isn't Minority Report.
yeah.
What I mean by that is it's not as cool as Minority Report, therefore I'm not going
to
do it.
But his, like, weird, silky smooth walking back to the Xbox and then waving his hand and the slide changes. Or not the slide, but the screen changes. Sure, but it was dumb.
That part was kind of neat, but, like, the pinching and expanding and stuff, like, that part just looked really awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked really, really, like, it reminded, like, it actually, like, I got the mental image of, like, when you're on your phone and you are zooming in and zooming out by pinching and expanding. Mm-hmm. It's like that motion, but even dumber because I'm having to use two hands in the air in front of me.
Yeah. The only time I can see myself using that is if I was cooking or I just wiped my ass and I needed to use – I didn't want to touch anything with my hands. Like, that's the only time I can see myself ever using.
Yeah, I mean, like these motion gestures and stuff, like, this is really cool technology and everything. Mm-hmm. But I feel like until we get a simulated tactile feel, like, and until the screen – is, I guess, like, holographic in the air in front of my hands, and I'm actually doing this Minority Report style, I'm going to feel really fucking stupid doing this.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, devs have said that, like, the iTunes panel technology, like, the touch technology, and I guess the Kinect technology, to a lesser extent, is just really bad design, and it's caught on by pop culture.
Yeah.
It's just... Yeah. Very bad for precision stuff.
It was that article on how Minority Report has, like, shoved us onto this, like, side development of all these interfaces that aren't actually conducive to rapid, like, prototypes.
And, yeah, and the unfortunate part about it is as long as it is popular and people like or people seem to like it and development continues on it, we're going to continue down this wrong path.
Yeah.
And... not like this is one instance where sci-fi influencing the real world.
Yeah.
Yes. This isn't Star Trek.
So perhaps the important part of this, which we haven't gotten to yet, was he was doing all this to demonstrate also not only switching between movies, games, and music, but to live TV. So he'd do something magical with his hands and then live TV would happen. Or it was like a voice command and then live TV would happen, something like that. What do you guys think? Switching between games and TV, is that the killer app of the next Xbox?
Is this their take on the new dual core? Like, all you can do two things at once, guys.
I think this is their selling point, and they're almost the whole rest. Like, this kind of set the tone for the rest of the show, pretty much, and.
Yeah.
What should have been like a bullet point feature or like something that was kind of cool and Trojan horsed behind games has suddenly become like their push feature for the next Xbox. This next Xbox,
well,
is TV device.
Yeah, like basically everybody's worst fears and the rumor that was kind of going around for quite a while now that everyone just kind of dismissed because no, surely Microsoft is not going to do just this TV device. Like they're not going to ignore the gamers. It's going to be a gaming device first and foremost.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen Sony do it. Of course, Microsoft, they have to do it also. And it turns out, no, all those rumors were true. This is a fucking this is a TV pass-through device that plays video games.
And of course...
That is this Xbox.
He hits a button and then a shit you not TV guide pops up on the screen and then a chorus Xbox of claps. Guide. Fucking comes in from the rear of because if you look, pay attention to the tweets. Apparently, the journalists were in like the first eight rows or so, and then the entire back of the tent was filled with like Microsoft people. So
whatever. I was wondering, like, there was an awful lot of like hooting and hollering going on in that crowd for what I was seeing on that stage.
Yeah, and if you pay attention, whenever they do an overhead,
it's hard to clap when you're live blogging. So
well, yeah, when they do an overhead shot, you see like. A sea of people on like rapidly typing on their laptops, maybe one or two people clapping, but you're hearing like a huge crowd clapping and hollering and shit. It's
not quite. I want to be slightly more descriptive with that. You see a sea of people in black clothes and dark room, and then you see one dude up front with a bright red shirt.
Bright red tracksuit, sir.
Sorry, but yeah, tracksuit.
Jeff Gerstmann wore his tracksuit to this.
We love him. I love him at least. Fucking, I'll take Jeff Gerstmann any way he wants to be. Yeah, so that set the tone. And so the next presenter was Mark Whitten. And Mark Whitten finally got into hardware specs, inverted commas. because
I was gonna say he glossed over hardware specs.
Like, this was not, like, as we predicted last week, this is not a Sony-esque. In fact, I think he pretty much nailed this, Durin. This was not Sony-esque at all. They said 8 gigabytes. They said those words for, like, no reason, really? Because it didn't really, like...
8 gigabytes, we have it.
Yeah, we check, we have it.
Literally, what they did is they said, they talked about their CPU, which is...
Well, it was
somewhat equivalent to Sony's.
Even closer to what you said, because they were like, the Xbox One, so the Xbox 360 had 500 million transistors, and the Xbox One has 5 billion transistors. And that means like nothing at any level.
Not only does it mean nothing, but the reason why they say that is because they are not comparable to what Sony has put out. They're somewhat comparable, but they're not quite there.
A lot of people speculating that is the case.
Yeah, and then going on to the RAM, they did exactly what I said they were going to do. They have 8 gigs of RAM, but because they know their speed isn't as fast as Sony's, they left it at that. They have 8 gigs of system memory.
Yep.
You know, they point out they have a Blu-ray drive, which obviously they're going to have because this isn't fucking 2004. they made the one announcement, and that's the one point where they gave us a value, and that is because that is a point that Sony did not say, and that's when... They talk about the 500 gig hard drive.
Yeah, which is, what do you guys think of that? I think that's a pretty good starting point for most consumers.
No, that's, I mean, like, if this is something that they want to make you, like, give the option of downloading your games, like, option. Like,
there's no option. It is required.
Well, what you're referring to
skin, but yeah,
is after, like, this event was pretty cursory, but a lot of the important news that came from today was actually discovered by journalists after the case. And one of those pieces of news were for any game to run on the Xbox One, you put in the disc, but then it actually fully installs the game onto your hard drive and registers that game to your account. So after that point, you can take out the disc and the game will still be there and run, like Steam, for example.
Now, the articles that were talking about the fee that would be required if you had put a used game in there, Microsoft has, like, depending on who was talked to.
Yeah, they said
they've gone back and forth. Phil Harrison was basically saying, yes, there will be a fee. Yeah. Everybody else was saying, no, there won't be a fee. Mm-hmm. And then their official, the official word coming from Major Nelson was, they haven't made any announcements one way or the other about that. They've only said that the system will allow players to trade in their games and buy used games.
Yeah. So that aside, you are fully installing your games to the hard drive, which means...
Yes.
Yeah, it's you're gonna have your whole game on there.
Yeah.
You're going to have any media, like music you have on there. Mm-hmm. You're going to have like full-length movies and any TV shows, I assume you're going to be DVRing.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but... Like, my drive is chock full of all that stuff, and...
Well, no. Let's back up here a second, because you won't be DVRing TV shows, because this is just a pass-through box.
Oh, yeah. Aside from that...
If you DVR your live television, you still have to use your cable box for that.
Yeah. But, okay. Like, you could be DVRing your games, and they've confirmed that you can do DVRing that.
Games for whatever purpose that serves, because... No mention whatsoever for streaming.
Yeah, did not confirm streaming, but you could be DVRing your games.
Send that video to a friend or something? Like, what? Like,
that's, oh, God.
I don't understand the point of DVRing those videos if they're only going to be for yourself.
That was this guy, right? Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. But before we get there, so on your 500 gig hard drive, let's see, a Ni No Kuni, which is just released on the PS3, is about 25 or 30 gigs installed to the PS3. And the reason I'm using that as a metric is because with PS3, we've been using Blu-rays for quite a while. So a lot of developers have just like said fuck it to compressing their textures, which is likely to be the case if the 720. The Xbox One has Blu-ray like discs as the primary form of game media. So I'm pretty happy with saying that we are looking at about 25 to 30 gig installs going forward.
I mean, I would say the average will probably be 20.
Yeah, sure. Ni No Kuni is like a 90-hour long RPG, so that's an outside case. But so 20 gig, which means what's that? Like 5 games per 100 gigs. So the maximum of 25 games And that's not including any space taken up by the OS. Because again, they've specified that this is a 500 gig hard drive. Now, whether that means you have 500 gigs of installable space.
Of course not.
Entirely different. No. Entirely different thing. Like, remember, this is the company that just released the Surface.
Well,
and the Surface had, it was like an 80 gig hard drive or 64 gig hard drive, of which like half of that was OS. Like, so it was like.
Well, and another point that you had mentioned that they didn't bring up during this, but was brought up later in an interview, is that this is running some sort of a proprietary OS with Windows 8 kind of bolted on as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it reminds me a lot OS. Of the OS formerly known as Metro.
Yeah, so you'll, yeah. You'll run dual OS on here. So you're probably talking like close to 40 gigs, 30 gigs mm-hmm. of OS.
I'm betting you only have 400 gigs of installable space out of the box, out of the 500.
Yeah, after any pre-installed apps and I'd imagine so.
So that's 20 games.
And that's not even taking into consideration save files.
Yeah, hard files, and that's not in taking.
Yeah, and the other point to make too is this 500 gig hard drive mm-hmm. is non-replaceable. So it does have a USB drive, which maybe that's what that side USB drive is for, because they did say USB drive will allow for extended memory, so you'd be able to put like an external hard drive on there. Mm-hmm. Which I want to say, fuck all of you who laughed at the Wii U for having that be the solution for extended space. While yes, the Wii U didn't have 500 gigs, 500 gigs isn't that much better even than what the Wii U offered, considering what they're requiring here.
Well, the best way to do this is how PlayStation's always fucking done it and just allowed you to change out the hard drive if you want to. That's like
even the 360, it was a removable hard drive. You just put another one on there. Yeah. They're proprietary. At least it was removable.
Why'd they take a step back? What kind of? I thought they were making lots of money on those ridiculously overpriced add-on hard drives. This whole thing
they'll release a bunch of Xbox One branded external hard drives.
Yeah, maybe. They are USB 3.0 ports, so it is potentially feasible that you could run a game off those external hard drives, but I doubt it, because that's still not, it's still not the same as a SATA Express port. Like, you are most likely to be able to transfer your games that are installed to your hard drive to an external hard drive, but only play the ones that are currently on your hard drive. So you'll be using, and this is speculation, but likely the case, you'll be using the hard drive as like a backlog storage place. That's pretty much it. And I don't know, it sounds so backwards.
The system sounds like such a headache for games.
Yeah.
Like, sure, there's some really cool things they're doing with television, because that matters. There's some really cool things they're doing with sports. I guess that matters to some people.
Yeah.
But what they're doing with video games, at least from what we're seeing here, this is not a system made for gamers. This is not a system made for people who enjoy playing video games on these boxes.
Yeah, pretty much. So
The other thing you mentioned too, with the 8 gigs of RAM, that sounds like a lot. But again, we have to remember too, this is not.
I'm about to get to there.
This is not the speed of Sony's. Yeah.
So before we get to the interesting stuff, I just want to hit on these. So Kinect in Every Box, which is what he's the one who confirmed it, but he also said it was a 1080p wide frame field of view camera. So it operates up to 4 feet closer to the television as the original Kinect. And I believe in my case, that means I can actually use it in my bedroom, which I guess is cool.
I'll be able to use it.
Yeah, which is a good thing. Aside from that, he specified the controller's new wireless ways, and now it's probably not compatible backwards.
The other thing to mention about Kinect real quick too is it is an RGB camera, which means, like they showed during the presentation, it can be used for Skype calls.
Yeah.
The old Kinect was not RGB. It was black and white.
Jeez, dude.
Or no, it wasn't black
that
and white.
That Skype call?
But it was.
Who approved that Skype call to be broadcast on national television?
It wasn't broadcast. That was a video.
No, I mean like.
What do you mean? That seems so natural and human-like.
No, I mean.
You mean like the guy who initiated the call? Not the one that called, but the guy who was on stage. Like, was clearly extending the time because he spoke his line too fast. And the video wasn't ready yet, so he just kept talking.
Yeah, it was a pre-recorded dude on the other side. And it was up to the dude on stage to make it sound natural. And obviously, they have probably practiced this a bunch of times, but they still had nothing even remotely resembling a natural conversation. And for some reason, Microsoft thinks that that was appropriate to broadcast on national television. Because that was a disgrace to, like, acting. It was... wow. But they have done shit that bad before. Like, this is almost exactly as bad as it was last time they demonstrated.
Yeah, but they just need to stop doing live demos of crap like that on TV. Or if they're going to do them, like, do them actually live. Like, have somebody in the back room of the building they're presenting this stuff in. Or in this case, you know, this is on their campus.
Yeah.
Have somebody in one of the offices somewhere actually call in.
Yeah.
And do this
someone
live.
Someone the guy knows.
And so if you're not going to have that because your stuff isn't ready, then save it for E3.
Yeah.
Durin? Remember, it's Skype, so the call may drop.
You know what? That's fine. That shows it's live.
I agree.
It reminds me of when Cliffy B's controller died live on stage with Gears.
It is better to do something natural and believable than to do whatever the fuck that was. Because that was two aliens speaking, for as far as I could.
What that showed me is that this doesn't actually work yet.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I don't think any normal person was fooled by that, which is even stupider. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Why? Anyway,
question for you guys on the subject of, like, you know, the external things and services. Mm-hmm. The phone app that he kept using. Do you think that was like Windows Phone specific or just like a Xbox app? What do you think?
It's like I have Smart Glass on my phone now.
Yeah, it's an app.
So I think it's just that Smart Glass app is all it is.
Exactly. That was the three pillars that they were going on about was the new controller. Xbox Live, which we'll get to, and Smart Glass. Smart Glass was what he's kind of demonstrating there, and they actually used it, as Durbleton points out, for a lot of the presentation as a whole. And you can see, like, the guy on stage taking out his phone and, like, just pretending to swipe it in ways that would somehow resemble what's happening on the stage demo. At least that's how I assume it happened.
Button presses on his phone that were so deliberate.
Yep.
Like lifting his finger way up in the air.
So they pushed Smart Glass as a third pillar of like input to their system in this event. I didn't see anything there that differentiated from any other representation of Smart Glass in the past. It just looked like, hey, we still have Smart Glass. I
mean, not only that, but at least, you know, with the Wii U, you can play your games on the controller, and that's really cool. And there's some different functionalities you can do with television and all that.
Right.
With the PlayStation 4, you can use the Vita in some really interesting ways with like remote play and things. With Smart Glass, you can basically use it as a remote control.
Pretty much. Which is kind of stupid because you have Kinect, supposedly. So if you're in the same room and you're using Smart Glass.
You have Kinect and a controller. Why would you use Smart Glass?
Like, what? Anyway, that's clearly like a beta they're still working on because that was not ready for any form of limelight.
Yeah, I mean, as somebody who has used Smart Glass on the 360, I don't understand why anyone would use Smart Glass unless you can actually use it remotely.
Yeah.
To maybe like set up like maybe you can use Smart Glass like purchase things and set and tell your Xbox to download it. Your Xbox then, because it's always on, goes ahead and starts downloading it so that when you come home from work, your game is ready to play.
Right. And just to put that like here, because we may as well, the Xbox is made to be running at all times. It is also designed so it's good to be connected to the internet at all times. But as far as we know, it only has to be connected to the internet once every 24 hours. It does not have to be continuously connected to the internet at the moment.
Now, it's not going to keep you out of your game or anything.
Yeah.
Are any of you guys worried if you plan on buying one, but just like think that the story of the Red Rings might resurface again with this, and it'll be much more damaging if this is the cable box and you have to ship it off for 3 weeks?
Well, again, this isn't the cable box. It's a pass-through box, so you're still going to have your cable box.
Well,
pass-through even.
And I was willing to say just like 10 seconds ago that I believe Microsoft has learned from their past mistakes and they wouldn't have a Red Ring problem, but looking at the rest of this conference, I don't know, man.
I don't know. I feel like the problem was one of the biggest reasons why the Red Ring thing happened was because of lack of proper air circulation.
Yeah.
So like huge, specific though. Problem. I don't think that's going to happen. I think this thing has plenty of air circulation.
Yeah.
One of the things they talked about was it's like whisper quiet. So if it has plenty of air circulation and it's whisper quiet, it's most likely not going to have an overheating problem.
Yeah.
Now, whether there is, you know, a problem in there with components, who knows? Like they can have another disk drive issue like the 360 did.
But it actually has a way less likeliness or lower likeliness of having disk drive problems because it is running everything off its hard drive. So there's a lot there to suggest that this thing will be built and better and more reliably than the original. Well, than the Xbox 360. So now let's actually get to the interesting stuff, because there is interesting stuff in this presentation, apparently. Three operating systems on this box. That's actually kind of cool. Three operating systems. So the Xbox One has the Xbox operating system, which is updated from 360, obviously. It has a stripped down, or Windows 8 kernel is how they want to advertise it, which runs all the apps which are associated with the Xbox platform now. And it has a third operating system, which actually is kind of like a silent background agent that just handles switching between the two and keeping everything smooth. So the third operating system is what allows you to have Snap on your right-hand side between a game and something like Internet Explorer. Because what's happening, and they confirmed this after the event, is that the Xbox One actually has continuous and dedicated resources to all three of its operating systems at all times, no matter what's running. So Windows 8 is always running, Xbox is always running, and the third operating system,
SnapOS.
SnapOS is also always running. So this, that was like highly, it's pretty much confirmed the rumors, which looking at the rest of the stuff seems like all the rumors were accurate, about there being 8 gigs of memory in the box, but 3 gigs of that is most likely devoted to these three simultaneous operating systems, which is crazy.
I really love that, like, Microsoft spent, you know, so much of their, again, 1 hour time convincing people why it was valid to have 8 gigs of RAM. That way Sony doesn't have to.
Yeah, pretty much. oh man. So, and Sony's rumored to have like 1 gig needed for its operating system and 7 gigs free for developers to use. And they're using GDDR4. Anyway, but so the crazy thing about this is, aside from the RAM usage, which has far reaching effects when it comes to games going forward, but we'll see them when we get there, is that because they're always running and they're always given 3 gigs of RAM, you're actually looking at this operating system being silky smooth, most likely, because the original Xbox 360 operating system runs off 35 megabytes of RAM. So these three operating systems are being given 3 gigabytes of RAM, continuous. So yeah, it sounds like a good thing. You'll always, but that's because they want you to be able to switch between IE and music player and movie player and whatever the fuck else and games instantly. Does that sound like a good thing to me? Like, do you guys think that this would be something that Sony has to kind of look towards in terms of like a performance benchmark? Because I don't think they can match how quickly this thing will be able to move through its OS.
I don't think it'll matter when the games just perform way better on the PlayStation.
Which they kind of, well, we get there, but it pretty much seems confirmed to
Given how much RAM they're going to have available to them,
yeah,
naturally that allows the games to perform better.
Yeah, pretty much. And obviously PS4 has faster RAM, but either way, like, this do you think that the trade is worth it? Have a snappy OS that can always be running these background apps and television and shit and games?
I mean, for a media device, maybe, but I mean, again, we're talking about, you know, as gamers, what we expect out of a game console, and no, it's not, because what we expect out of a game console is, especially when we are dropping hundreds of dollars for these things when they come out, is for them to be, you know, the most powerful game console out there, to play the newest and best games as best as they can, and this one clearly won't do that if they're taking so much of the RAM and devoting it to all these tertiary functions.
Yeah, it's like, say, for example, go ahead.
The one good side I can see from this is how easy it would be to, like, let's say you're playing Call of Duty and you got, like, you and three other friends are doing that, mm-hmm. and then someone else playing Halo, you can also be having a conversation with Skype.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing, is you can do, like, cross-game chats with your friends.
Yeah. And something you can do in the previous system. You can be doing cross-system, like, conversations with friends. Your friends can be on the PCs, you can be on the Xbox. And you can be Skyping with them with no lag to your game because it is running on a separate OS.
Is there a Skype app on the 360?
I think so.
Like Skype Voice?
I'm pretty sure there is. It's just I'm not sure if it works in tandem with running a game.
I think it's an app rather than a service, or a low-level system service. And in this case, like, what they're essentially doing is they're making all apps low-level system services, which is I can see as its advantages, because the example they used was they're breaking out Beacon into its own app and running in that Windows 8 kernel. So, and for people that aren't familiar with Beacon, is in with a Beacon on your Xbox, you can set, hey, I'm always down to always down to play X game. So if someone comes online, they see that you have a Beacon for Call of Duty, for example, and they can totally like message you, and you can set up a invite there or whatever. And that, because that's always running on your off system processes, like your Windows 8 kernel, that can be snappy and fast. So you'll always have like beacons going and invites going and that kind of stuff.
So I haven't really used my 360 that much since they added beacons, but does anyone actually use it?
Nope, not that I've seen, but I don't have a huge friends list. Oh, they're also expanding your friends list to 1,000 people for like 10 people that care.
Yeah. For all of the media people.
Yeah, the YouTubers, the media people, I guess.
Yeah.
That'll be high five.
Basically. Question for you guys, though.
Shoot.
Well, as far as YouTube and all that, Vinny seemed depressed about the lack of a component cable.
Yeah.
But
that is a big problem.
Yeah.
Every time they mentioned Transistor, all I could think of was Supergiant's next game.
Yep.
What's up with it? Like, why is having so many transistors a good thing? Or is that a lot of transistors?
It is a lot of transistors. Transistors is something that some people use to equate to complexity. Because obviously this has 10 times the transistors as the original Xbox 360, so I guess a layman could say it's 10 times more complex, but that's not the case.
It all depends on how those are utilized, too.
How they're utilized, and are they talking about transistors in just the GPU? Unlikely. Or do they actually mean, which is more likely, the transistors put into things like their cable switcher, their CPU, their GPU, and other shit on their system.
Just like all in all, a transistor count as like a bullet point on their presentation here was just a really weird metric.
Yeah. I thought it would be
kind of out of left field.
It would be far better for them to say this is six times more powerful than your 360. Like that would have been way better. I don't know.
But unfortunately, in this case, six isn't as big a number as 500 billion. Yeah.
So the second piece of interesting news for this section is new live services. They didn't really go into what this would mean. They essentially just went, Xbox One had 500 servers for live. Xbox 360 started with 5,000. Nowadays, Xbox 360 has 15,000 servers for live. And the Xbox One, they're going to have 300,000 servers for live, which will allow you to remotely process stuff depending on developer needs, have persistent worlds, so probably an opening for MMOs as we discussed earlier.
They did specifically mention that like more players in games will be able to happen because of this.
Yeah, and then you have and all the content stuff. So apparently all your content can be backed up to your cloud, including save games, and this is where they showed that recording like DVR feature for games. As to how that interacts with the crowd, we have no idea. And again,
one thing they didn't mention too is that most likely all of this is going to be behind Xbox Gold or Xbox Live Gold.
Oh yeah, because they just
said, don't expect this to be free stuff.
They totally said Xbox Live. They didn't mention whether that's a silver feature or a gold feature, or even if they're keeping silver system and gold system.
But I mean, even Sony is charging. You know, the cloud functionality is locked behind PlayStation Plus. So most likely they're going to be doing the same with this.
And I don't find that's a terrible.
No, you know what? If they do that, but then they pull multiplayer out of gold and allow that for silver, sure.
Do you think that would happen though?
No, because clearly Microsoft doesn't understand their audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Or understand their competition, most importantly.
Right, I find the reason you would give any money to Microsoft for Xbox Live entirely like ununderstandable to me, because I'm a PlayStation Plus subscriber and a PlayStation Network user, and that's like everything you would ever want or need from an online system as it is at the moment. And I assume they're just going to be making that better going forward and feature matching Xbox Live where they can. And it's entirely freaking free aside from PlayStation Plus, where I'm getting free games. Why would you give money to this company? for this crap. I don't know, but maybe they'll make it useful. Maybe they'll make
Yeah, and to be fair, they didn't speak anything about what was going to be Xbox Live features. Yeah. For, you know, gold features. What wasn't going to be? They spoke nothing about price of gold. So I imagine we'll hear all of that stuff at E3, but we're just kind of extrapolating that information from what they did tell us, that this will be Xbox Live functionality.
Yeah.
And most likely based on what Sony did, you know, that'll be behind the paywall. And
they probably have a reason they're multiplying their server count by 20 times. Like, there's probably good reasons for that, that they're probably...
Well, obviously the cloud is probably one of the big reasons for that.
Yeah.
But I would imagine a lot of this TV functionality is probably a part of that too. You look at like the fantasy football stuff they showed and everything. Those are all things being done by their servers, not by the live TV.
Yeah.
So yeah, I imagine a lot of that's going to be the reason for that, but most likely the cloud.
All right, so we can move on. And from here is pretty much just a fast forward to the end. So we have Andrew Wilson from EA Sports. They had a 2 minute or so montage of sports stars talking about sports. And then they announced that the existence of a couple of EA Sports games. They announced one exclusive feature for FIFA on the Xbox One, but they didn't. FIFA's not exclusive to the Xbox One at all. But there's one feature in one part of FIFA that's exclusive to Xbox One. So take that while you have it. Anyone gives a shit about this section? I think it's just like whatever.
The only thing I pointed out to you was I thought it was interesting that like they just, I think it was last year or year before, unveiled their new Infinity engine they were using for their game, for their sports games, and now have already replaced it with another engine for their next gen sports games.
Yeah. How do you think those games looked?
Cartoony and the color saturated.
Weird, right? When I saw them, I did not think next gen games. I didn't think bad looking.
I think what I mentioned to you is I think one of the biggest issues with it was there was a lot of smoothing. Obviously, you know, the anti-aliasing beyond there, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of smoothing going on, almost too much.
Mm-hmm.
And the shadows weren't quite right. I believe I compared a lot of it to Perfect Dark Zero when the Xbox 360 launched, where it looked a lot better than Xbox One games.
Yeah.
But there was this look to it, just like, well, this doesn't look quite right. Everything looks like it's made out of plastic.
Yeah, in this case, it
looks like it's made out of anti-alias plastic.
Yeah, it's just like mush almost. It's just this weird, soft. Everything's soft. And it's just made everything look cartoony. Even the grass looked cartoony and the people. Maybe that was a design choice. Maybe that's even how they want the game to look. Who knows? But
yeah, like maybe they wanted the colors to pop that much more.
But who knows? It didn't look next gen. And that is like a continual thing, at least from my perspective. I think
most importantly, it didn't look like they were going for photorealism, which is what console or what sports games have always done. They always try and push further and further in order to make it feel and look like, you know, you're watching a football game.
Yeah.
And this didn't
at all. This is just weird.
It could have been next gen NFL Blitz, and I would have believed it.
Yeah. If anything, this just essentially underlined who their target audience for this entire event was. But this entire event was so jumbled and weird, with like so many things going off in so many different directions and like numbers that are irrelevant being thrown around, that I have just no idea. By this point, it was just like a haze of shit I didn't care about, mixed with like shit that just shouldn't have taken up the time. Like the 2 minute freaking presentation with sports stars, when we didn't even get a stage demo for any of the games shown for the entire night. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Not a single stage demo. Nobody on stage playing. The only interaction with a fake console there was the guy swiping for Kinect stuff.
Oh, and this is about me even mentioning that Andrew Wilson, the guy who showed those EA Sports games, came on 27 or so minutes, like half an hour after it started. So for the first half of the event, we didn't see a single motherfucking game at all on the Xbox One, the next gaming system from Microsoft. All right, so then Phil Spencer got up and he started showing more games, which is cool. And just to be clear here, I wrote down 8 minutes of games is what they showed in this segment. So, first one, Forza 5. Thoughts?
I really liked right before the thing happened. I watched Jeff Gerstmann, Jarless, talking to people in this hotel room.
Great video,
and,
by the way.
Like, pretty much, like, he accurately predicted that Forza would be at least, if not the only, one of the games that they show off because car graphics are really easy to do.
And you know what's sad about that? That game looked nowhere near as good as Drive Club. Like,
and also for the sports things, I mean, like, I'm less caring about the graphics and more, which we could see how the AI works on this new system.
Yeah.
Because the last AI was dumb.
Yeah. But they didn't even show go ahead.
I was just going to say the one thing I would say about Forza is, like, I didn't think it looked as bad as you did. I thought actually it looked pretty good. The ground textures, it was a little hard to see just because it was obviously always in motion.
Yeah.
But it seemed like it looked pretty decent. The one issue I took with it was. I felt like, you know, this is next gen consoles. This is, you know, these should be more powerful or at least as powerful than the PCs we're playing on now. Mm-hmm. Why the fuck are we using sprites for smoke?
Yeah. Yeah. You kept pointing out. I missed that. I was looking at like the background buildings and stuff. And yeah, you're totally right. Some weird stuff going on with that Forza.
It was. Right, yeah. I mean, this is ridiculous. Like, PCs can do, you know, tessellation for smoke and smoke effects, and it looks really good. They showed a game later on. I believe it was – we'll get to it eventually, but Call of Duty, where they had some smoke in there. It looked really good.
Yeah, it looked good there.
Why is this Forza game using goddamn sprites?
Yeah.
Do you think part of it is, like, since most first-gen like games of a console usually aren't the best product? It's, you got to wait till, like, the second generation.
I think that's definitely part of it. However –
it's a fantastic point, but remember that 3 months ago, Sony came on and showed in-game footage from Infamous, whose smoke looked amazing, for one, and everything else as well. Killzone Online, straight up stage demo.
We don't know if it was game. We know it was in-engine.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, in-engine. You're right. In-engine, which this was as well. So we're comparing things apples to apples here.
Yeah.
That was an open world game, so that's actually harder to do good looking shit in than a car game. So Infamous, which looked amazing, and then you have Killzone, which looked freaking amazing comparatively. So I don't know, and that was 3 months ago. I'm not sure if that, like, it's a very valid argument to say that first gen games for a system are usually shit. I should say without mincing words, they're usually terrible.
Absolutely, yeah.
But the game Sony showed off will actually look fucking polished and pretty
my
good.
Expectations for launch games isn't very high. Like, I really enjoyed Prey on the 360 when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have super high expectations for launch games, but I feel like, you know, again, we're talking about, you know, this next generation of consoles.
Yeah.
These things are supposed to be powerhouses,
mm-hmm.
and we're still using sprites.
Yeah.
Like, that's a problem. That is a major, major problem.
Yeah. And even if you are using sprites, just use them better.
And you know, again, I want to point out, this is a first party developer.
Yeah. This is Turn 10. I'm crazy.
It's not like this is a third party who maybe just got their development kits a few months ago, and so they hurriedly put this together. Like, these guys have had dev kits probably from the beginning.
Exactly. Like, these guys were part of the development of freaking the Xbox One. Straight up. Like, they were one of the many people who were giving constant feedback to Microsoft, supposedly, on their hardware development. So if they can't squeeze out something that I'm looking through the images of these screenshots, so these should look even better for drives for Motorsport 5 now, and they're still not particularly impressive. Like, I'd say the screenshots are closer to screenshots of Drive Club than the moving video was, but I'm still not particularly impressed. Some of this actually does come back to me in, like, Microsoft actually, what they did say during this presentation was they're using a familiar 64-bit architecture. But they didn't actually say, and no one's been able to make them confirmed, whether it's actually x86 or not. Is it possible that they're using a slightly skewed away from PC architecture that's making these games harder to make?
It's
hard to tell, right?
I want to say no. Because, again, you'd have thought they'd have learned from Sony, but then again, there are so many things throughout this presentation that you look at it and you're like, why didn't you guys learn this from Sony? Don't do this.
Yeah, exactly. Sony did right work on you, and that was 3 months ago. And crazier was that this presentation.
Well, no, I mean things like, you know, requiring full installs of games. Sony did that with PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
It didn't work out. It made it a pain in the ass to play any game on that system.
That's true.
Why are you guys doing that now? Like, just things like that, just constantly that, you know, Sony screwed up on it last generation. Mm-hmm. Why are you guys repeating this?
Yeah. I do want to make that point, though, in reference to whether these games look good or not. Some of them do, like, some of these images, I will admit, look really good. Like, some of these stills. But they are stills, so whatever. Microsoft pushed this event back by a month to get it to what quality it was yesterday. I would be shocked and disturbed to see what it originally was if it was to come up a month earlier. And crazy. Anyway. So that's
Forza. I mean, I guess it wasn't that much different, but they had to have an event.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess like we need to have something before E3, right? Like they need to split up.
You know, maybe Forza wasn't ready.
Oh man, Forza was like so. All right, so they showed Forza, and we've given our reactions on that. The second one was a Remedy game. So huge expectations going into this because a lot of people were hoping for an Alan Wake game, and
yeah,
it seems like what they got was like a spiritually similar to an Alan Wake. It definitely
had the like other world that you travel, like other existence or something.
Yeah, like parallel but within the same world kind of phenomena. And also like a focus upon FMV and real people and actors in the game, which is something they've always done. And so some of that looks really cool. But as you noted with me, like some of it just looked janky as all fuck, which is crazy because, again, like,
well, it was mostly the bridge thing. And the cars.
Yeah,
those cars were
child actors, like they're also a bit, I don't know. Like,
yeah, the like live action stuff was just real weird, but then again, yeah. they did live action stuff with the like,
and that was really cool. Alan Wake was live action stuff.
The
was pretty
teasers
cool.
And stuff for like, yeah, like the stuff leading up to the release of Alan Wake, like a lot of the ads and stuff they were doing live action stuff. So you know that's in their wheelhouse. But like I'm not gonna call them out on that. But yeah, those cars were pretty fucking terrible looking.
And it was only like 10 seconds of gameplay or like 20 seconds of gameplay in that thing. Most of it was FMV. And that's totally weird. Again, in this event where they're spending minutes talking about switching back and forth between TV and stuff, having these games, which are like legitimate announcements, like a lot of people would be excited and are excited probably for this Remedy game. But they've been only been given like 40 seconds of the game in this event. Of course, E3 is around the corner, so I assume that all these games that have been like just trailers here will be blown out into demos for E3. But you never know.
Well, I wonder if all around that's part of the problem, is mm-hmm. they waited so long and waited so close to E3 at this point.
Yeah.
That they want to leave stuff to announce for E3. So they just blew their load entirely on this. Their E3 is going to be just a lot of rehashes and like, hey, remember what you saw a few weeks ago? Right. Here's some more of it.
Right.
So I think a lot of it just came down to like they unfortunately did this event way too late. They, you know, they cut it down to an hour to be on television mm-hmm. and focused on just the wrong things.
Yeah. Like, how much of the shit show yesterday was because they wanted to save stuff for E3? And alternatively, like Angry Joe on YouTube had a pretty hilarious...
Man, he was angry.
He was pretty angry. Like he posted a 20-minute rant on this, where he was essentially shouting for half of it. And he's actually, even though his name is Angry Joe, he's actually a pretty down-to-earth guy in a lot of cases.
Yeah, he's pretty like pretty laid back on some games, but yeah. there was vitriol there.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, he was legitimately disappointed for good reason. He made the correct statement that if this is your reveal, and we all know that you want to save stuff for E3, but you still need to come out with your fucking A game at your reveal.
Yeah.
Because this is your fucking you go and do that once. It's a reveal of a fucking console. And well, we'll get to like public reactions in a bit because we're almost at the end of the presentation. But yeah, like dude, having 40 second trailers for a game a lot of people want to see, but like fucking 12 minutes or so, 8 minutes to 10 minutes on Modern Warfare 4. I guess actually that's probably a good, maybe that's a good trade. But we'll get to that demo in a second.
Yeah, it wasn't so much the imbalance of what game was shown more than another game. Mm-hmm. It was the first half of the show,
30 minutes,
where there were no video games.
Yep. Yep.
On the unveiling of a video game console.
So the big announcement here is that Microsoft has 15 exclusive games lined up for E3, of which 8 are new IPs. Which is...
For the first year.
Yeah, for the first year. And yeah, those are to release in the first year, but they'll be shown at E3. This is kind of like the straw that a lot of Xbox fans who were strongly disappointed about this event are grabbing to with their, essentially their last breaths, because this is, if they don't, this event was a disaster. Again, I don't want to mince words. This event was pretty bad. Average rating on NeoGAF was 2.5 out of 10. From like 2,000 voters for this, it was bad. Like a lot of people just didn't receive this well. So what do you guys think about this 15 games, 8 of which are new IPs? Do you guys think that this is something that you can grasp to, that they will deliver, they will turn around with E3 with those 15 games?
I don't see how they could, because I mean, I guess for the average person watching that, they're gonna get excited about it, especially when they start talking about, you know, again, these people they're grasping are mostly going to be, you know, general fans of Xbox anyway.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, when they start seeing things that will only come to their system, you know, they're going to be excited for that. But for the rest of us, we follow this stuff a bit more closely and know how these things tend to go a bit more. We're going to know that, you know, of those 8 new IPs, it wouldn't be terribly surprising to find out that half of those get canceled. Or, yeah. You know, moved on to future years.
Or alternatively, like, how many of these 15 games are Kinect games? How many 15 games are exclusive rights for indie games, which they've roped in for the next system?
Well, we know none of them, because none of the indies like Microsoft right now.
Yeah. You never know. But hey. I didn't even know they had this enough clout to have 15 games, considering a few first-party published like developers they have under their wings. But maybe I'm actually thinking that because we know that they have very little in the way of actual first party development in Microsoft, I'm betting there's some megatons in those 15. I actually think,
well, I do know that one article that came out after the event was that they said that Rare will have a game at E3, and it's going to be from one of their older IPs.
Well, yeah, it was like a classic Rare IP or something like that. Yeah,
historical Rare IP.
Yeah, that's the word.
Which a lot of people were guessing.
Banjo.
A lot of people were guessing Killer Instinct.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Because they did try to re-up the
rights to it.
Their rights to it or whatever, but then that got denied. So maybe they'll do something like that, but just name it something different.
Mm-hmm.
But most likely, it's probably going to be like, you know, Banjo maybe. Or
Perfect.
Maybe Perfect.
we also have the last Perfect Dark game, but hey, you know, it's Rare. Some people still trust in them. I don't. A lot of people don't, but hey, it's Rare. That for me, that announcement of 15 and 8, so 15 new games, 8 new IPs, especially the 8 new IPs part, has me hoping for the best for E3, because as this event was a disaster, but I'm still not counting Microsoft out. I will never, like Nintendo, I will not count Microsoft out, because if anything, they have enough money to probably bail themselves out of pretty much anything at this point.
Well, and we know that, you know, if they were willing to spend all of this time just talking about everything but games, and knowing that E3 is only a couple weeks away,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine that I'd be very surprised if their E3 conference wasn't almost entirely about games and lots of stage demos.
Yeah, exactly. Also kind of crazy is that this conference didn't... This is the time to announce if you had like a deal with a US carrier, right? Or a cables provider, right? Like, wouldn't this have been the event to do so? Doesn't this...
Yeah, I mean, the guy mentioned that he used Comcast, and you saw the Xfinity symbol on the guide.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was no announcement of any kind of a deal struck at all.
Yeah,
it kind of makes sense because again, the thing is just a pass through.
Exactly. So
I don't really have to strike any deals.
It's very likely that all that stuff or a lot of that stuff may have either fell through or just never happened. So it's very likely that the only thing they'll have to talk about come E3 will like that matters is games. And that could be.
Yeah, I mean, unless they rehash all of this information again, which
they hopefully won't.
I would hope they wouldn't be that dumb.
Yeah, they can't. They cannot be. I've never seen a reveal event this bad before in my life, but that doesn't necessarily mean they'll repeat the mistakes, especially since I am certain they're receiving a lot of feedback from this event.
Oh, yeah. I'd imagine their Twitter is busy.
So the next almost last presenter is Nancy Tillum, who got on and talked about Xbox and having TV stuff, essentially. I'm reading through my notes and there's nothing interesting
here. Because we needed more of that.
Yeah, exactly.
On for having a girl on the reveal stage.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you have get a woman on stage. Some people are giving you points for that. I don't really
right on.
She emphasized that they want you to be able to personalize your TV experience. Again, I could not give less of a fuck. But then she invited Bonnie Ross on stage to talk about Halo. And it wasn't a Halo game. Let's just say that.
Yeah, so I want to go ahead and point this out now since we're to this point now. But anybody who listened to our last show where we were just kind of throwing stuff out about what we thought would be there, what we thought wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Cynic actually like kind of inverse
cold
got this one.
Yeah.
Cold because Steven if Spielberg. You recall, when we were talking about it, we were talking about like he basically mentioned Steven Spielberg and I was like, oh God, if they bring him on stage, that's going to be, that's going to mean everything else is like 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully everything else wasn't 3 minutes long though. You know, a lot of good that did.
Uh-huh.
But they did, in fact, bring him virtually on stage on the screen to talk about this partnership.
They didn't talk about what his role was. He's not. We don't know if he's directing or producing. Most likely, he's like an executive producer who will barely be remotely attached to the project. But hey, they got Spielberg on stage, talked about Xbox TV series. Again, I think that's a miscalculation and misinterpreting who gives a fuck, but sure. Anything else to say? I don't give a shit about this. Do you guys have anything to say about Xbox TV stuff? Do you think that it's a big deal that they're going into producing content for TV?
Not really. Just the one thing I'll say about it is like because 343 is going to be directly involved in this,
mm-hmm.
you can imagine it's going to impact the production of the next Halo game.
Yep.
So don't expect Halo 5 anytime soon.
Or it could just be like they sign off on it. You know, you never know. Yeah, I bet, again, because of pressures from how well Sony's doing and how, especially how bad the feedback from this event was, I hope we're going to get cornered Microsoft soon, sooner rather than later. Cornered Microsoft is a good Microsoft. Any company in this industry that has been pushed into a corner has done really great things from that. So, I hope that they do put out, for the people who want a Halo, unlike myself, I hope they do put out a Halo that's good soon. Thurbleton, were you going to say anything on this part?
I enjoy the content that they do. I'm not super bummed about another like Halo getting pushed back later. I'm sure some people are.
Mm-hmm.
Really, just the two notes I have for what's left of the reveal are bored and now listening to Daft Punk album, and then hopefully this is transition to the last point.
Yep.
Mocap dogs, what?
Yep, almost there. You're right. So before we get to the final part of the reveal, Nancy again comes up and talks about their exclusive game-changing partnership with NFL. Does anyone care? I assume people care, right?
The target audience for Microsoft probably cares.
Yeah. Just to explain...
Somebody out there cares.
This is Xbox and NFL getting in bed together. We don't necessarily know if it's linked to the season passes or whatever the fuck Patrick was talking about in the stream. But we do know that what you will be able to do is bring out your fantasy football shit during live NFL stuff and, like, see your fantasy football stuff live as it happens. Moving on.
Xbox is changing the NFL.
Back to Don Matrick, and here's, like, the actual important shit. We're back. Xbox is due this year. Surprise, surprise. Whatever. Don't give a fuck. You already knew that. And
yeah, Call of Duty. Not surprisingly, no talk of price.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I don't know why some people were expecting that to happen. I think those people are nuts.
Hey, if they'd said that this Xbox One shit was for $299, they could have. Yeah, but they were never going.
See, the thing is, if they'd said this is going to ship for $299, then Sony could have come right out and said, "All right, ours is going to ship for $349."
Exactly, and everyone would be like, "Well, that's an actual game system." So anyway,
yeah, that's the thing. Like given what Microsoft showed off here,
yep.
If they were to release a price alongside that,
no, yeah,
easily allow Sony to go beyond that price because everyone knows they are offering more.
Yeah. All right, so Call of Duty. What do you guys want to say about this? Because we talked about this before the show. I'm sorry to leave the listeners out of that intelligent and diverse conversation along the lines of me going, well, it looks like Call of Duty with a dog, and the textures look like shit, and all the geometry barely looks better than current-gen systems. Durin, what are your thoughts on the Call of Duty thing? It was important that they did this Call of Duty thing, right?
Yeah, like, given what else they showed, it was very important they did this Call of Duty thing because it was the first game that really showed off any amount of in-game gameplay footage.
Yeah.
And I will say, as somebody who's played some Call of Duty, I haven't played the newer ones, but I've played quite a few hours of those games. I know how those games run. I know why those games run at 60 frames on a console. Yeah. And a lot of that is textures and polygons.
Mm-hmm.
So to see this one, they have dramatically increased the polygons. They have dramatically increased the resolution of those textures. This game looks really good. And, you know, obviously assuming it's still running at 60 frames, which I don't imagine.
They've already said it runs at 60.
Okay. That's actually, you know, that's really cool. Like you had said that you know, this doesn't look any better than Uncharted 3.
Yep. And
I'll agree. It probably doesn't.
No.
But.
Well, Uncharted 3 with AA. Wires, just be clear.
Yeah. But given what Call of Duty requires, namely that 60 frame lock,
mm-hmm.
that's enough of a feat for me for a launch game. That's impressive.
Sure, and we already know that this is multi platform. This is
and it had proper PS4. Smoke.
Did it have proper snow?
Smoke.
Oh, smoke. Yeah, smoke looked really good. The foliage looked pretty shit. A lot of the textures looked pretty shit. But as you said, maybe that's like just a whole.
I would actually completely disagree. The foliage looked fine. It looked decent. You know, I liked the sun rays coming through. It looked really good.
Yeah.
It didn't look Crysis, Crysis 3 or something or anything like that. But it looked really solid for a Call of Duty game.
Sure. All right. So, and finally, like the biggest and coolest reveal of the entire event, motion capture dog.
There was motion capture dog.
I think it was actually literally, it totally picked me up. Like, I was so bummed after, I was also kind of like morbidly really amused and kind of like laughing by the end of the show. Like, this couldn't be any fucking worse. This is great. Like that kind of stuff by the end of the show. But like legitimately lifted my spirits with seeing a dog in a motion capture like suit. Totally being
that was
a dog.
Pretty great.
Dog. That was cool.
The worst part was like that was really great, and then they decided instead to end it on comparing Modern Warfare 3 to Call of Duty Ghosts.
Yeah. Oh, they did three things,
how
right?
Much better this
the first
was.
Thing they did was they showed the mocap and shit, and they showed like little bits of gameplay, and then they were talking about how they want the new more like Ghosts to be like emotionally invocative, get you attached to the characters, and like
yeah, like the writer off there talking about, you know, what kind of story they were looking for and all this,
and they're displaying like the dog is like one of your teammates, and he's like he's going to be with you for a lot of it, and the dog's really
and he's
important
after like an actual like SEAL trained dog or some shit, like there's training behind this dog. This is a professional being motion captured here. He's a professional actor.
Yeah.
And then they show the comparison stuff between Modern Warfare 3 and this, and that was just really weird. Like when you start to, like, when you get that desperate where you're comparing like last gen to next gen,
that's what it was. It reeked of desperation.
Yeah, just to qualify, like you know, I know this doesn't look, you know, amazing or what you expect out of next gen, but look how far we've come from the last game we made.
Yeah, that's exactly
what I thought. Yeah, but the last game was on a console that had 512 megabytes of RAM.
Yeah, and 6 times less processing power. Just like, what the fuck? What? Get out of here with that. Just get out of here. It sounded to me
they're just Link's image, and that just makes me sad.
What was it? Let me have a look.
It's an image shot between Crysis 3 on PC with max settings and Call of Duty.
Oh my god!
And
it's okay. To anybody who doesn't imagine the quick look of Crysis 3 in which you you see the face up close and like the sweat glistening on the face, the details, like the furrowed brow.
Yep.
And then like the Call of Duty Ghost, it really looks like a model you'd see in like Arma 2, which is years old.
Like, it doesn't look terrible, but like somebody needs to turn that anti-aliasing down a bit or something. Because like there's way too much blur on that head.
Yeah. But you are losing that. There's nowhere near as much skin quality. There's nowhere near as much subsurface stuff happening. It's obvious stuff. Like, for example,
we're talking Call of Duty, so it does tend to.
Yeah.
They tend to run things lower than most other games to make sure that they keep that 60 frames.
Yeah.
But
I think a big thing for Call of Duty is they put the budget is more on the set and less on the characters, because they do some pretty explosive sets.
And also, like, your character is usually wearing like face masks and stuff. So we are comparing heads here, and you really won't be looking at the head too much.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, it is just a bit depressing to see, you know, a game released in 2013 being compared to. I guess it's a game released in 2013, but
early
later.
2013. Yeah.
And it's just like fucking day and night difference. Yeah. Like, it's not even close. Like, this, looking at these two compared to each other, I would almost expect Crysis 3 on medium settings to have a better face than what I'm seeing on this. You guys
wouldn't be surprised. Would not be surprised. And with that, essentially, that was the show. Favorite parts of the show, guys? For me, it was the dog, obviously. Non-dog answer would be the 15 games. That's definitely the thing to look forward to.
The non-dog answer would be when they announced the name Xbox One, and I was watching the giant bomb guys talk over the thing.
Yep.
And just their reactions, because so much tension build up, second by second.
Yep.
And then just confusion.
Yeah, it was perfect. Like, they were doing like pre-reaction faces, like building up as Don Matrick slowly brought the whole thing together into the announcement. And they were all expecting it to be called the Xbox. So when he said Xbox One, everyone was just like, what? And it was great. It was great. Yeah, I agree with you. Duren, favorite thing from the show?
The thing I kept coming back to was, because it happened so often during the stream, was just when, you know, the guy doing the Kinect stuff, every time he would tell the Xbox, go home. That was exactly what I was thinking throughout the entire presentation. Just Xbox, pack it up and go home. Yeah, you guys aren't ready.
So, yeah, aside from all that, the only thing we have aside from there is confirmations of how it works. The thing has an HDMI in in the back. And that's how it does the TV.
The back has HDMI in and out, as well as, optic cable.
Yep.
Everything but component, basically.
Let's see. And there's that used game stuff. It has no backwards compatibility. That is confirmed. Let's see. That used game stuff is, as we said earlier.
Specifically, I want to point out, it has no backwards compatibility, nor do any of your digital, Xbox Live Arcade games, none of that will carry over. Yeah. The only thing that will carry over is your gamer tag, if you so choose.
And your points.
And your points.
Yeah.
But all of your digital purchases are locked to your original Xbox. So one person brought up a good point with this that I just want to mention here. Mm-hmm. We don't know for sure if this is how it's going to be, but this is how it was last generation when we came over from Xbox to Xbox 360. And that was when you transferred your gamer tag over from the original Xbox to the 360, you lost control of your gamer tag on the original Xbox. You were no longer able to access it. So if that happens again, when you buy the Xbox One, and you transfer it over, I would imagine this wouldn't happen. But if that happened again, where it full cloth transfers it over and you no longer have your profile on the original Xbox, that would mean you lost all of your digital purchases.
Man.
So I hope that that's not the direction they're going, but that is the direction they went last generation.
Yeah,
so
we'll definitely –
we don't know for sure.
This thing will slowly come together over the next couple of weeks. 3 weeks till E3, like 19 days or so until this thing either sinks or swims. Like to be honest, like how do you guys think this affects Xbox going forward? For me, I think that with how fucking terrible this event was, they pretty much just have E3 to turn the whole conversation around. Looking at the numbers of the Giant Bomb community, 90% of people prefer the PS4 to the Xbox 7 to Xbox One. I brought a. There's also like other stuff, like the name, for example. 52% of people in Giant Bomb think the name's dumb. 38% are neutral. 11% think it's a good name. The 2.5%, 2.5 out of 10 average rating for the conference from GAF. Like, this is shockingly terrible.
This actually went worse than the Wii U unveiling.
Yeah. This made the Wii U look good.
A lot of people had a lot of really bad things to say about that.
Yeah.
But somehow this was worse.
Yeah. This.
And I want to point out, because we may not get to this with our, you know, depending on what our next podcast is, but I did want to point out a couple of things that are. One thing that is definitely related to this, and one thing that is most likely related to this.
Sure.
The first one was following the conclusion of this event, Sony stocks rised almost 9%.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. Which, I mean, like with all the announcements, it's expected to have like a stock drop for your company, but this is like a competitor's going up in reaction.
Yeah,
that's not
a small amount, not, like nearly 9%.
Yeah. That's probably billions of dollars worth of stock. So,
yeah. And then the other thing that may be related to this was, you know, as we talked about in the last podcast, you know, there was a lot of shit talking on the Wii U from EA people, and then EA themselves saying they were not making any Wii U games.
Mm-hmm.
News came out today following this event. Again, not necessarily related, but following the event, that EA is in fact making Wii U games. Nice. And simply like the guy mentioned in there that with these next systems, talking about the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, that, and I'm paraphrasing here, but essentially what he was saying was these things will offer a lot of extra bonus features and things, and things will be a little shinier on them, but that it's too early to tell whether or not that is going to equate to adoption rate.
Yeah.
On the level that maybe, you know, everyone expected or something.
Yeah.
Like I think what EA is realizing after they made those comments about the Wii U and saying, no, we're not going to make any games for the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing this announcement and the reception received from this, they're like, okay, we can't afford to discount the Wii U because this is actually getting a worse reception. And we were banking on this.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't feel sorry for EA because they're EA, but I think the only people who had a good day today were Sony, pretty much just Sony. They could just like sit back, have some popcorn, so on and so forth. But EA, Activision, they all got pretty much panned because of just how terribly this event was fucking.
Yeah. Like, I'm actually curious to see Call of Duty Ghosts on PlayStation 4. I want to see comparison shots at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would not be surprised if it looks better on PS4. It's still weird to me how good the PS4 games looked and just how mediocre the Xbox One games look. And I have no idea why. Maybe it's because of that whole vaunted ease of development for the PS4, but maybe it's like something entirely different. Maybe something happened in the background for the Xbox that we just don't know about. We'll never know about.
Yeah, exactly. Like, maybe it's, you know, something in the development pipeline that just it's difficult to develop for it for whatever reason, or they're allocating so many resources to these other things that there are now limits that they don't have with the PlayStation 4.
Like, or the developers aren't getting enough access at the moment because it's a pre-release. We just don't know. But either way, and with that, we actually did a pretty short show. You happy, Thurbleton? That was pretty good. We only did like 2 hours or so on this event. It's pretty good.
I'm doing okay. I mean, I got work in 4.5 hours, but for Dern, it's like 3 a.m. here.
Man,
what? No, it's not.
Isn't it?
No, it's 1:30.
1:30.
Oh, right, you're Central. You're thinking you're Eastern.
And he doesn't have work tomorrow anyway, so.
I guess before you end it completely, I will say next podcast will be a Lincoln cast.
Yeah.
There is a lot of stuff Guild Wars / MMO related I want to talk about.
Absolutely. Sure thing. So I will be airing probably normal time next week, so coming out probably around the Monday, Tuesday like it usually does. But this will probably go up. Well, you'll see it. You'll see it on the fucking RSS. That's the only way you listen to this in the first place. Yeah, so good luck to everyone involved in Next Gen shit. Going forward, E3 is going to be big. You'll probably see stuff like this from us around E3, dissecting news, announcements, press conferences, that kind of stuff. If we can have time for it. Remember, we're doing this for free, but it's fun. I had fun. Anyway, so thanks for listening. This was the Scotchcast, episode 5.5. See you next time.